Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. It's your new combo here. Every day, Monday to Friday. I'm your host, Mike Blute, along with Dane Martinez, Spittin' Speeds. Each got through with Roto Experts with Scott Engel. So I'm excited to be working with Dane each and every day. How was your trip, buddy? I know you doing some traveling. I hope that all went well out in the Golden State.
It did all go well. I was down in San Diego, had a little bit of a family wedding. It was a lot of fun, but I'm back riding in the saddle. I'm a little bit on West Coast time, but I'll still try and bring the heat like I always do, Mike.
I hear you. It's early call time, as they say. So, again, excited to be with Dane here. He and I have worked together in the past. We did a lot of NFL draft coverage together in the past. We haven't worked with any regularity, but we're excited about it. He and I are friends off the air, so we're excited to finally do this. We'll be here every day, Monday to Friday, doing the Fantasy Sports Today Hour, kind of getting you caught up on a lot of the goings-on in the NFL and around the sports world, but clearly the focus this time of year is on NFL preseason football, and we did have a game last night. I know you talked about it a little bit in the last hour in Roto Experts with Scott, but always good to reset the audience that's joining us at this time. Again, if you want to hit us up, please do so at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. Dane is at Spittin' Speeds, S-P-E-E-D-Z. And if you ever want to give us a call, 844-843-6879. So excited to engage with people. Clearly, this is a big week for drafting, and people will be engaging us with more and more questions as we roll on. So first I'll ask you that, actually. Before we get to Colts Ravens, you have any drafts lined up? I know I got Granite Street Tavern on Saturday. There's some talk of the internal league on Sunday. It might be a scheduling snafu for me, but I assume you have a whole bunch of drafts lined up.
I do, Mike, and I think we're actually, I believe, in the same division of the Greenwich Street Tavern.
Oh, nice.
So that could make for some interesting radio throughout the football season. It looks like we may, we may have a little bit of a competitive banter. We may have to put a little bit of side action on this one for the FST listeners.
I don't mind that one. Did you do GST League last year?
No, I did not.
It's my first foray.
Exactly. So I'm looking forward to it. We will be drafting on Saturday. I also got that draft on Sunday that you're talking about as well. We'll be doing that one live from Studio 34, I believe. It'll be a special edition of the Fantasy Football Frenzy with our guy, the Fantasy Executive. But definitely all weekend long, we're going to be drafting.
There's talk of me and you teaming up on that, so we'll have to talk about that. I just got like a family thing that was previously scheduled on Sunday. So whatever, we'll talk about it later. So it's good
to know that
you have drafts coming up. I certainly do. I'm trying to shoehorn different days and nights in order to do these drafts. Live drafts are hard to come by for me these days, but I'm glad to be doing one this Saturday at least. So Colts Ravens, we saw it last night. You could go a bunch of different storylines, but clearly the guy that's really on everybody's minds when it comes to the Colts or Ravens is Andrew Luck. And he didn't have his best evening last night. I think it's still apparent to a lot of people watching that he's not pushing himself as much as he could conceivably push himself. He had a really terrible interception. I think he'd be the first one to raise his hand and say it was a bad throw, so I'm not going to hammer away at him. It's a bad throw. It's a bad pick. You move on. He's professional enough that you can forget about it. I'm not going to overanalyze and say this makes him prone to interceptions this year. But I did notice the fact, and the analyst talked about it last night, Jason Witten, Booger McFarland a little bit, that he isn't going for any home run balls just yet, which was antithetical to what Joe Flacco was doing. So first give me your thoughts on if you're having any concerns with Luck, yeah, he's healthy, and yeah, he's out there and throwing the ball around, but he's not really pushing himself.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. I mean, we did see that. He definitely looked rusty, right? And that's what I talked with Scott about last hour. But I think that's natural, and I think that's normal. So I'm not, you know, Chicken Little, the sky is falling on this just yet. My one concern that I did see, you mentioned it, he wasn't pushing the ball down the field. There were no throws over 20 yards. Part of that has to be because T.Y. Hilton wasn't on the field, you know, so maybe in this third preseason game, we will see some of that. T.Y. Hilton, remember the last time Andrew Luck was there, he did lead the NFL in receiving yards. So his deep threat being there is a part of that. But that's still what I would like to see from Andrew Luck. I am not really concerned with what I would call him just looking rusty. What I will say on the positive side, though, Blewett, you saw T. Sizzle sack him from behind and go for the strip sack right on that shoulder, and it looks like he is no worse for wear. So for me, that is kind of like the most important sign for him to get that kind of first big hit on the shoulder and still feel comfortable. I think the rest is just rust that he'll naturally work off, no problem.
Yeah, LaRaven Clark is a guy that blew that sack on Luck.
Mm-hmm.
When T. Sizzle chased him down, and then Clark again, like a series or two later, he got smoked again for another sack by Smith of the Ravens, and I was like, "What is this guy trying to do?" It's like it's the same problem we've had.
Right,
we need to keep this guy safe. So, look, he's not brittle. He just did have a significant injury. I wouldn't characterize him as brittle. It was one major injury. He did have rib stuff in the past, but I think all of this is a result of him having taken a lot of hits. You know, early in his career, the only quarterback in the entire league that was taking more hits than Andrew Luck was Cam Newton, and that's for very obvious reasons. So I think we'll just continue to monitor it. I'm not jumping out of my seat to draft Andrew Luck. I understand the upside and the talent and all that kind of stuff, but I'm a relatively conservative drafter. When it comes to quarterbacks, I don't feel the need to jump out of my chair, period. So right. I'm okay to wait. And if I think it's an appropriate value in one league, I could do it. But I could see myself drafting guys right around where he's ranked, either before or after him, and maybe stay away from this potential impact of this injury.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there was a time maybe about a week or two ago where Andrew Luck was starting to zoom up boards, right? As soon as we saw that he was, you know, not going to be on the PUP list, was going to be healthy. But for me, he's still in that group. He's one of the reasons why I can wait on quarterback. Put him in the same group, you know, with a Matthew Stafford, with a Phillip Rivers, with a Drew Brees, with a Kirk Cousins, and if I can get all of those guys in the 9th, 10th round or even later in some drafts, I'm fine with that. I'm agreeing with you, Blewett. I would wait on quarterback. There's no reason I'm spending the 3rd, 4th, 5th round draft capital on one of these guys. You can have Russell Wilson. I'll take Matthew Stafford. I'll take Phillip Rivers, and I'll be happy. To me, Andrew Luck is in that category. If he falls to me at that level, sure, I'll take him, but I'm not targeting him in any way, shape, or form. I'm going to let whoever falls to me at the quarterback position, and this doesn't change that. He's still at that level for me.
Yeah, Fantasy Pros right now, aggregate ranking, he's 9th right in front of Matt Stafford, right behind Kirk Cousins. You got Roethlisberger and Wentz in that area. I'll probably be avoiding Wentz personally just mm-hmm. because – while I do think that you should be focused on how good your team is over the long course of the season, I don't want to deal with quarterback issues right out of the gate. And I'm not entirely convinced that Wentz is going to be a fantasy superstar in the same manner that he was last year. I don't get overly hyped about QBs. Yeah, occasionally I'll jump up and take somebody early, depending on how the draft goes. But I'm going to wait and wait and wait. I like guys like Matt Ryan who have crept up draft boards, and I think Matt Ryan's a QB1 this year, and right now he's ranked 13, so that gives you a sense of how I feel I can wait in the draft. I also like guys like Marcus Mariota, who aren't even ranked as QB1s right now, but I find them to be of great value and greater value than some of the guys that you would take in the top 10. So last thing on Luck, they play Saturday against the Niners, so that's actually a good QB matchup. It gives him a few days off here, and Jimmy G going up against Andrew Luck could be a fun quarterback matchup. A lot of good matchups, actually, this week with You got Titans, Steelers, Niners, Colts, Falcons, Jaguars, Saints, Chargers. So a bunch of teams in there that we probably consider to be playoff teams that might have their full complement of starters out there, with Steelers minus a running back, but come this Saturday. So some pretty good matchups where we get to see some real football.
Yeah, absolutely. I will tell you this. When you mentioned San Francisco up against Indy, you know, you talked about the left tackle who was looking like a turnstile there for Andrew Luck, could get him killed. At least the Colts are addressing this. You know, they spent a very high draft pick with Quentin Nelson, you know, in this year's draft, you know, going up to get the guard very early. But when you say them playing against San Francisco, the Niners have a ton of early draft picks right along that, you know, right along that defensive line. And that could be an issue for this Colts offensive line. I would want to see what happens in the first half of that one and make sure they can keep Andrew Luck upright.
Yeah, Arik Armstead, DeForest Buckner, Solomon Thomas. That's 3 years in a row they had first-round draft picks or all starters on that defensive line right now. So flipping over to the other side of the game last night, I hope everybody's done with the Lamar Jackson's going to start for the Ravens thing. Now, their schedule is pretty brutal early in the year, so I think the thought process was that the Ravens might struggle early and he'll give way to Flacco, or Flacco would give way to Lamar. But I think you can see now, we've seen it a couple of times, they are miles apart as far as starting quarterback play is concerned.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I mean, I still think Lamar Jackson is intriguing in dynasty formats, you know, if it does click. But the interesting part, and they said it on the telecast, you know, they said he's a year away from being a year away, you know, and I don't know if it's the competition or what have you that's put the fire under Joe Flacco, but by all accounts, he has looked good. And here's the thing, Mike, it looks like they are trying to do something different with this offense. It looks like they are trying to be a little bit more aggressive. You saw the very first play, they take a play action shot to Smoke Brown. You know, he does get the touchdown. And I wonder, Mike, how do you feel about these Baltimore wide receivers? You know, do you think Crabtree and Snead and Brown are all fantasy viable? It looks like they might be trying to put the ball up in the air a little bit more than in years past in Baltimore.
So there aren't too many things in preseason football that changed my mind dramatically outside of injuries. But I will say I was listening to Lewis Riddick, and he has been on this bandwagon regarding the Ravens' offense. He thinks they can really do some interesting things. Now, when I look at the receiving core, I don't find it to be incredibly dynamic. John Brown is a speedster. Willie Snead has proven that he's an adequate NFL receiver, maybe a beyond adequate. I think he just kind of wore out his welcome in New Orleans, and that's why he found himself out of the game plan last year. Plus, the emergence of Michael Thomas made him very expendable. Michael Crabtree, look, I've thought he's been underrated his whole career. The fact that he's bounced around to different teams, I think, furthers that narrative that he's not quite as good as that draft capital that the Niners spent on him whatever year that was, 2010, I believe it was.
He performed better than Amari Cooper for a few years, though, in Oakland.
Exactly. So I do think, while it's not the most dynamic, I do think it's very capable. And they were struggling badly with depth at wide receiver in the last couple of seasons. So with Flacco being pushed in the manner that he is, and he's basically playing for a contract now, which is unlikely to be in Baltimore, I may be buying a little bit of what Lewis Riddick was selling, in that they are an underrated offense and they could be far more dynamic than people expect. I do think Alex Collins has not been talked about quite as much as some of the other running backs that are being drafted around him. And I do find the fact that the offensive line is a good offensive line could bring all this together. Now, they've been besieged by injuries, including injuries to Flacco in the last couple of years. So maybe this is a team that people have been overlooking. I have them right around a 500 team, maybe a 9-7 and pushing for that sixth playoff spot. Maybe I'm even overlooking them a little bit.
Interesting. I mean, going into this, you know, if you asked me about a month ago, I would have said that I thought there was a chance that it actually completely unraveled for the Baltimore Ravens.
I know. A lot of people have been pushing that. I don't see it.
Yeah, and so maybe I need to, you know, you need to hit that music like the beep, 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 like a garbage truck backing up or something like that, because I was on this narrative that the Ravens and the Bengals in that division were going to take a step back. I was on the kind of Cleveland Browns bandwagon, maybe being able to be in second place in that division, albeit at like a 6 or 7 win team. But yeah, both Baltimore and, to be quite honest, Cincinnati as well are starting to make me reconsider that. Let me ask you about this, you know, because Lamar is going to be there. Do you think RG3... are they going to carry three quarterbacks? Because when they signed RG3, I thought it was an interesting move to kind of at least have a veteran that plays in the same style as Lamar, if for nothing else, to teach him that he's got to slide when he gets out of the pocket. But do you think RG3 makes the 53-man roster?
They talked about it a little bit last night. The Ravens have not historically kept three. So I would, if you're asking me to make a decision now, I would say they probably don't go with RG3. I think they keep him on the hook in case anything happens, or potentially add him during the season if they feel like they really need him there. But based on how erratic, and by the way, excuse me, you can take a look at Lamar Jackson's stats from last night, and they may be like 7 of 15 for 49, a touchdown. It's not great. It was worse than that. I can tell you, I was watching. It started off really rough. He missed his first four. He nearly fumbled. He took a couple of sacks, not all his fault, but he took a couple of sacks. He overthrew somebody in the end zone. He almost threw another interception in the end zone. So before halftime, Lamar Jackson was looking really rough. Many of those positive stats came after halftime. He ran the ball four times for 26 yards, one really nice run. But the reality is for us, Dane, as we're trying to evaluate this guy, I already know he can run. I don't really want to see that. I want to see how good he can be throwing the ball from the pocket. He was very good at that in college, but he needs to be good at it now.
Yeah, and the other thing that I'll say about Lamar Jackson, and I saw it, to be honest, I saw it with Baker Mayfield also, although he's been doing much better in the preseason. They also both still think they can kind of like backpedal 10, 15 yards, you know, and then still get to the outside and get around these defensive linemen, you know, and that's not necessarily the case in the NFL. You know, he thinks that he could just use his athleticism to get out of there, and that's not what's happening. Then he winds himself up 15 yards behind the line of scrimmage, having to throw it away. But he's going to get called for some intentional groundings if he's still in the pocket at, you know, that far back. And I saw Baker Mayfield doing some of the same things, throwing off his back foot, backpedaling, because that's the way they could do it in college. They can't do it at this level, Mike.
Yeah, it's the kind of stuff that Jameis Winston is still doing. So you need to make sure that they break those habits. But last couple of notes, I thought Jordan Wilkins looked really good. Naeem Hines, it's
gotta
a lot
hold on
of problems.
To the ball.
I mean, it's four fumbles already. So you could see he's firmly down the depth chart. And I think this is a Jordan Wilkins, Marlon Mack situation. And Marlon Mack's not even healthy right now. So Jordan Wilkins running the way he's running, he did fumble the ball. He got stripped, and they ended up scoring a touchdown
into the end zone.
Yeah. But nonetheless, he did fumble it. So, you know, I think that's what you need to keep your eye on. That's very much a running back by committee. I'm keeping Marlon Mack in one league, but it's a ninth-round pick. I just think it's at a good value. There was a lot to go through from last night's game, despite the fact that it was only the second preseason week. So Dana and I'll come back. We'll go around the league talking some more stories, people getting paid, people still holding out. It's Fantasy Sports Today. Mike Blue and Dane Martinez back right after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today. Mike Blue and Dane Martinez taking a call here in a minute, but before I do that, I want you to get your season ticket to Fantasy Glory now with the 2018 Roto Experts exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. It's not just a draft kit, it's a full season package that takes you from draft day to championship week. and it features in-depth analysis from some of your favorite fantasy sports radio experts. Go to rotoexperts.com, use code WINNER, W-I-N-N-E-R, to get 10% off on the exclusive Edge package and set aside a spot on the mantle for that 2018 championship trophy. So, Dane, we do have a loyal listener that's calling in, and that's Kenny in Philly. Kenny, how are you, bud?
Hey, good morning, hey, y'all. How you guys doing? Dane, welcome back, brother.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. How you feeling, Kenny?
I'm all right. So I got a draft next week. I'm in the two hole, and I did my first mock draft last night. I've got a couple questions. I know. I generally have my board set up, but I was just doing this my first one of the year. So I got one question. I got another question that corresponds with another one. So I'm gonna ask the first: AJ Green, Diggs, or T.Y. am in the PPR. Which way would you go? It's a half point.
Me first. I would go AJ Green first, although I got to tell you something. It looks like Kirk Cousins only has eyes for my man Stephon Can You Diggs It. But I'm a little bit concerned about their offensive line injuries over the last couple of weeks there in Minnesota. That's given me big time cause for pause. I don't want them getting Kirk Cousins killed. And I've seen a improving offensive line in Cincinnati. So I would go AJ Green, then T.Y. Hilton, then Stephon Diggs. How about you, Mike?
I'm going to sign off on that with Dane. I think it's really bunched together, actually. A.J. Green's sure. The best player of that group. I really do love Stephon Diggs, and I think he could be even more dynamic with Kirk Cousins. But I'm going to go A.J. Green. I'll shade the better player, even though I'm not a huge believer in Cincinnati this year. They've made a little bit of an improvement to the offensive line. I'm not buying it yet. I'm also not buying the Minnesota offensive line. I mean, you just brought up three teams with offensive line issues, so we're just going to have to go with the best player in A.J. Green, so that's where I'd go. So what's your corresponding question to that, since we all signed off on Green?
So I was going through the draft. I wound up getting Stafford. I picked Njoku as a tight end, and then I get to this incredible round 10. So I look on my board and look who's left, and I scroll through about 12 to 18 guys. And the best player on the board is tight end Jack Doyle. So do I pick Jack Doyle, or do I go through players like Lux there, Reed, Chris Thompson, Mahomes, Matt Ryan, O.J. Howard, all these? It's Drake in round 10 to 11. So, I mean, what's the proper response today?
Here's what I would say. You don't have to draft a second. And, Kenny, thank you for the call.
Thanks
we appreciate
for the call,
it.
Kenny.
You don't have to draft a second quarterback, in my opinion. You certainly don't have to back up Matt Stafford right away with a Pat Mahomes or Matt Ryan. It gives you a lot of depth, but I'm not of the opinion that in a redraft league you need a second quarterback. And if you do, just wait to the very – if you feel like you do, I think you can wait to the very end and just go with a lower-end QB2. But I'm all in on Jack Doyle this year. Dane, if draft boards play out the way they have been playing out as I've been doing mocks and real drafts, Jack Doyle is a guy that I'm going to be in the mix on a lot just because I'm not somebody that goes up and grabs one of the elite tight ends. I think there's a little bit too much risk for somebody like Gronk, and I generally don't like the way my team formulates around those teams. And Jack Doyle is a guy who had 80 catches last year, and even with some regression, I think he can be very productive at where you're getting him.
Yeah, I'm warming to Jack Doyle. Okay, I agree with you, Blewett. I'm treating tight end sort of like quarterback, where I'm waiting, you know, because I'm not going to spend the capital for Gronk, for Kelsey, for Ertz. And then you have, you know,
year,
you got...
Yeah.
And then you have your Olsons, your Rudolphs, your Ingrams, and all those guys. I might... In fact, I'm higher on some of these young kids with upside. Kenny mentioned Njoku. You know, there's a lot of buzz around Trey Burton, people like Ricky Seals-Jones, stuff like that. If one of these guys in the Doyle, Graham, Delaney kind of tier fall to me a little bit later on, then I will go for it. I do think Doyle... is clearly going to be a big-time target for Luck. But I do have still some questions. You know, I haven't seen an offense be able to support two tight ends in a very long time. I don't know to what extent Eric Ebron plays a role on this team. And one thing that I'd love to bounce off of you, Blewett, because I've been saying it to Scott over the last couple of weeks, and this may be a little outside the box, but I actually think Indy would be a very interesting landing spot for one Dez Bryant. He's a different kind of receiver than T.Y. Hilton. And I don't know that the call, I don't know that you want to trust like Chester Rogers as your number two. I've been feeling like Dez could be an interesting fit in Indianapolis. And if that's the case, you know, I mean, I'm pontificating here, but that would horn in on Doyle's production as well. So yeah, I'm going a little bit lower for tight end though.
Yeah, they lost Deion Kane too to an injury, which he was thought to be an ascending rookie. So the depth chart in Indianapolis at receiver isn't great. Dez would be a huge upgrade, regardless of what you think of Dez, and I do think he can be, say this the right way, disruptive to a locker room. And if Frank Reich felt like he was not wanting to introduce a big personality like that, then I could see him passing. But he would be a significant upgrade. I mean, he's immediately the number two guy, or you could, I don't know if you'd even call him, you'd call him the number two to T.Y. Hilton, but he's certainly an upgrade over Ryan Grant and Chester Rogers, who they are utilizing a lot. Now with Deion Kane out, Chester Rogers, I mean, he caught the fumbled touchdown last night,
right?
But they used him in some big spots last night, some first down pickups. So I found that to be a little interesting. But Doyle is a guy that I'm in on. You mentioned a few other names there, like Jack Doyle, George Kittle. Those types of guys are the ones that I'll wait for, because here's the reality of the tight end position. We do a lot of hemming and hawing before the season. Oh, where's your guy ranked? And I like Walker at 8, which I really do. I love the Titans this year, which I went on about.
Yeah, yesterday. You like LaFleur, right?
Yeah, LaFleur. I just think there's going to be a lot more play action. I think they'll spread the ball around really nicely for Mariota with between Lewis and Walker and Davis and potentially others. But I think on a week-to-week basis, and I used to talk about this a lot with Jake Seeley, the tight end position by the end of the year is a complete mess. So on a week-to-week basis, the guys that finish in the top 12 tight ends are the guys that catch touchdowns. And if I was in the business of accurately predicting touchdowns, I'd be doing this from a gold-plated studio in my home.
Right.
So that is a hard thing to do each and every week. There are teams that allow more yardage to touchdowns. The Giants haven't stopped a tight end since the late 90s. So there are teams out there that you can utilize guys, even stream tight ends in some instances, because they have advantageous matchups, which is why I typically don't spend a lot of draft capital on it, Dane.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not spending the capital on Gronk because of his injury risk. I'm not spending the draft capital on Ertz because you just mentioned the touchdowns. And Ertz, you know, while he's been consistent with about 70-some-odd catches and 850-some-odd yards the last couple of years, over the last 3 years, he's gone from 2 to 4 to 8 touchdowns. And last year with his 8 touchdowns, that's what got him into that tier with Kelce and with Gronk. If he just has his, you know, goes right back down to 4 or 5 touchdowns, and I believe Philly is, you know, something of a fantasy herd where they have a lot of mouths to feed, so that is possible, then he drops right down. The guy that I like that I'm targeting, although there's so much buzz around him in this offseason, is Trey Burton out there in Chicago. I really like that, you know, Matt Nagy comes over bringing that scheme from Kansas City and ultimately Philadelphia. And, you know, there's a saying, Blewett, you know, follow the money. And the Bears targeted this guy early on in free agency. Some people think they overpaid for him, but they wanted him for a reason, and in their second preseason game, he really looked like a go-to target of Mitchell Trubisky. So I would take a chance on Burton at that level, and he's one of the reasons that I would wait on tight end, and you can get him, you know, much further down in your draft. So those are some guys for me to target. I agree with you. It's all about who catches touchdowns on a week-to-week basis. But I do like the schedule aspect that you mentioned, and kind of you mentioned the Giants. Interesting to note on that, Blewett, the Dolphins and the Jets are two of the worst teams defending the tight end. So you could get a guy like Charles Clay even off the waiver wire and play matchups that way as well. So I agree with you. Tight end is not where I'm spending the draft capital. I'm going right with running backs and wide receivers, you know, for the first, I don't know, 6 or 7 picks. And then I'll pick my head up and see where people are at the quarterback and tight end position and see what I need to do there.
That's basically where I am as well. But on the Trey Burton thing, I've been a little bit off the Bears, certainly more so than a lot of other analysts. But I think Howard hasn't been talked about enough, and I buy that. I could buy that narrative on Burton. I do think there is an opportunity for him. While he hasn't been productive as an NFL tight end really during his career, he did catch 5 touchdowns last year, but in a limited number of catches, I do think
he flashed when Ertz was out.
Yeah, I do think there's an opportunity here. And on the Zach Ertz thing, you're right. He's raised up into a tier where he's now too expensive for me. I've been on Zach Ertz since he's a rookie, and I was drafting him every year, 4 or 5 years in a row. And now in his sixth year, I'm finally going to have to pass. I do have him as a keeper in one league, which is nice, but that's really the only time I'm going to have him because he'll go too early beyond that. Let's do a little bit of news and notes. You know, we talked about Nyheim Hines' fumbles. Jimmy Smith, just a defensive note, Jimmy Smith of the Ravens, their former first-round draft pick, cornerback, he's likely to be suspended, and they think it's going to be multiple games from a violation of the personal conduct policy. A lot going on there. He was suspended for a month last year for a PED violation, so they continue to deal with stuff there. The Jets talking about needing a significant return for Teddy Bridgewater. This has been a lot of buzz, a lot of people talking about where he could go as a backup because there really aren't any open starter spots right now. New Orleans, Denver, other teams rumored to be potential landing spots. So they're saying they really want something significant for Teddy, and they should be saying that right now.
Yeah. No, I agree. Listen, Mike, I am a Jets fan, okay? I am a Jets fan. I went to the first preseason game against Atlanta where everyone was talking so much about Sam I Am, but Teddy Bridgewater looks good. And Teddy Bridgewater is, what, 24, 25 years old? I know that there hasn't been that, you know, that significant injury yet at the quarterback position, but I got to tell you something. He would be the best quarterback, in my opinion, in the entire state of Florida. You know, I'd have him over Blake Bortles. I'd have him over Jameis Winston. I'd have him over Tannehill right now. But I think where their best market might be is with one of these older quarterbacks. You know, imagine him going to the Chargers or even the Giants, for example. You know, Davis Webb did not look good in his action behind Eli Manning. I think that might be a better potential partner if... In fact, you know, there is no kind of opening as a starter. But then you got to think about the return, right? Like earlier this offseason.
Drew Brees is 40 and his backup is Tom Savage.
Yeah, and think about Eli.
I'd be looking at Teddy Bridgewater hard.
Think about Eli. Think about Philip Rivers in the same kind of boat. You know, I think that those are legit opportunities, but does it make sense for the Jets? You know, you got to think like Tyrod Taylor only got what, like a third round pick back as a return earlier this offseason? And that was being traded to a team who viewed him as a starter. So if the Jets can only get a fourth or fifth or sixth round pick in return, I'd rather hold on to him and wait for the inevitable injury to change my leverage.
Totally agree. And Teddy Bridgewater, look, he's a guy that he didn't have to do much, but he's played himself basically into a big contract for next year. Teams don't have to spend a lot for him right now. And I mean, they don't have to spend a lot monetarily for him right now. It's going to be really all draft capital. As you said, he's only 25 years old. I think Carson Wentz and Teddy Bridgewater are a month apart. Teddy Bridgewater is a month older, so keep that in perspective. He's not some grizzled veteran. He just had a very high-profile injury, and people thought he might flame out. Now he's back. He can play, and he's a month older than Carson Wentz, who's also had a significant knee injury, although clearly not quite as devastating. We expect him back here in just a few weeks. So news and notes there. Go ahead. You were going to say
Just to say, remember, going into his senior year at Louisville, Bridgewater was hyped as the number one overall pick at one period of time, right?
Definitely.
He fell that year in the draft process and all. And he's, like you said, he's that young. There's still a future for Teddy Bridgewater in the NFL.
And by the way, he's from Miami, and it's safe to say that Ryan Tannehill could
is
be
not the guy.
His last season. It could be his last season in Miami. Could be Adam Gase's last season in Miami. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying if they wanted a bridge quarter, people talked about them maybe grabbing somebody in the first round this year. Now, maybe that is their plan for next year, but I could see him getting a Mike Glennon deal in a place like Miami, but maybe there's more suitors. There's just
same
a lot
scenario
of young...
in Tampa Bay. Could be the end for Cutter and Winston in Tampa.
It could be. There's a lot of young quarterbacks in the league right now that teams are going to give a little bit of a wider berth to. Think Trubisky, think Carr, and others that, you know, they're committed to. for now. But Cincinnati's going to need a quarterback next year if things play out the way I think they play out. Miami might need one. And Drew Brees is 40 and Tom Brady is 41. And I know they're still performing at a high level, but, you know, if they retired the day after the season this year, it wouldn't surprise me because they're in their 40s, just like me. So A.J. McCarron didn't break his collarbone, so it technically thrusts him back into the QB mix there. But it almost feels like that, regardless of injury, we've already kind of moved on from it. And this is a Nate Peterman-Josh Allen battle. What say you?
Yeah, I think, listen, the Buffalo Bills are not playoff contenders. So that being the case, I let Josh Allen take his lumps. It's going to be ugly, right? But given the fact that, you know, they ain't winning anything anyway this year, and that Josh Allen has, you know, performed better than people thought. We've seen some of the great arm talent already, but we've seen some mobility in the pocket. We've seen some decent decision making. I say, you know, Nate Peterman's not your future. You know, AJ McCarron's not your future. I say, let Josh Allen learn on the job. It looks like he's getting first team reps. It looks like he's starting the dress rehearsal this week for the Bills as well. I think ultimately it'll be Josh Allen under center in week one, and I think that's the right decision, Mike.
Ten years in a row we've had a rookie start week one, so somebody's going to do it. Darnold, Allen, could it be Rosen? It ain't Lamar, and it's not Baker, so a couple other guys out there might have a shot. Bills over under at 6. What do you think on that?
Oh, I am running to taking the under on that bet. I think the Bills are one of the worst teams. I think the Bills are one of the worst teams in the league. And listen, I was also down on McCoy even before all of the kind of domestic violence stuff, right? He's on the wrong side of 30. If I'm a defense facing the Bills, I'm putting all 53 men in the box to try to stop Shady. I think it's a long season up there in Western New York.
It's becoming an expensive under, minus 145 there. Some other expensive unders are the Panthers, under 9. That's an expensive under. I'm just looking at a few more here.
I think Tampa's at 7.5, which I love under, and I love the Oakland under as well, I think. I think they're
Lions
up to 9,
under,
Mike.
Lions
9 for the Raiders.
65. Yeah, it's, I'll take that under. So we'll come back. We're going to do some player props. Do a couple more of these over-unders, but we got some player props, regular season player props. Talk Mike Crabtree and others after the break. It's Mike and Spittin' Speeds on Fantasy Sports Today.
Marcus Cato is a baseball-loving 20-year-old Californian. In May, he was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia. Marcus now needs a bone marrow transplant from an unrelated donor to survive. The National Bone Marrow Registry is made up of only 7% African Americans, which means Marcus, who is biracial, faces a unique challenge to find a match. Text INVOLVE to 50555 to join DKMS in the fight to help Marcus and others get a second chance at life.
FST, thank you for listening to us on the Fantasy Sports Radio app or on TuneIn Radio or iHeartRadio or a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country. Thank you for listening to myself, Mike Blewett, and Dave Martinez, Spittin' Speeds, at Speeds, S-P-E-E-D-Z, on Twitter. So we're going to do some player props coming up here. And, you know, we'll continue to talk over-unders. We'll talk lines during the year. We're going to do DFS during the year when it's relevant. So full service Fantasy Sports Today, you know, each and every morning from 8 to 9 Eastern. So, yeah, let's do some player props. That's what I want. Well, one more news piece, which it did jump out to me. With two more news pieces, and then we'll get to the player props. Marquise Lee and Keelan Cole are getting majority of the starter reps with Dede Westbrook and second-round rookie DJ Chark, quote-unquote, being standouts, with Dante Moncrief actually apparently struggling with consistency in camp. So I've been trying to – they're going to be a really low-volume passing team.
Right.
And I'm trying to figure out how many guys are actually relevant in this offense from a pass-catching standpoint. And I really only think it's going to be two guys. And I've thought it's going to be Lee. You know, I'm not even counting Fournette. I think Yeldon is sometimes not talked about. Like, I think he could be a RB5 or 6, somebody that needs to be drafted. But really, who's the only other guy? And it looks like it might be Keelan Cole. Like, D.D. Westbrook and D.J. Chark, are they really going to have enough catches on an annual basis that you need to draft him? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. And in the past, I've been high on Dante Moncrief. He had an interesting kind of touchdown chemistry with Andrew Luck. But as you're saying, it sounds like he's struggling right there. The one name, listen, I'll also throw out, don't forget, they signed Austin Seferian Jenkins in the offseason as well. Blake Bortles down the field. But give me, you know, the 10-yard security blanket to ASJ. I think that could be interesting. We've talked about how many tight ends there are kind of in that soft underbelly of, you know, whatever, tight ends say 9 to 16. I think there's a universe where Austin Seferian Jenkins is in that tier as well. And you mentioned it's all about the touchdowns, right? And I don't think, you know, I don't think that I see a lot of Blake Bortles, you know, airing it out to guys like Westbrook and Lee, things like that. I see it being a lot of Leonard Fournette, and maybe they're in the red zone a little. Austin Seferian Jenkins, he's a name I'd watch in Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's an interesting call. I watched a little bit of that rookie Hayden Hurst last night too. He could be an interesting weapon for Flacco. But betting on a rookie tight end is a hard thing for me to do. I'd be more likely to take ASJ than I would Hayden Hurst, at least at this point. So last news, an item that I wanted to do, is Rob Havenstein, the right tackle for the Rams, landed a four-year, $32.5 million contract extension. You're saying, this is a fantasy show. What are you talking about offensive line contracts for? It's because the best player in the whole league
still isn't getting paid.
Everybody getting paid. Everybody's getting paid. Gurley paid. Cook's paid, who just got there last month, basically. Havenstein's getting paid. Everybody's getting paid. And Aaron Donald, I know they said they're in the same zip code, but you know, where's he at?
I don't know. I think this will, like you said, they're starting to talk like the sides are coming together. So I do think ultimately this will get done. I think this will get done before, say, Earl Thomas or Khalil Mack. I think those two guys might actually be on the move. But yeah, it's just got to be kind of a slap in the face, right? Aaron Donald, in my opinion, the best defensive player in the NFL. Yes, I understand J.J. Watt is still there. But, like, yeah, everybody else is getting their money. And here's the thing. Also, the Rams are all in right now because some of these contracts that they have are unsustainable. They've got the Ndamukong Suh money as well. They paid Gurley, but Jared Goff is going to come up in a year or two. So their window is right now. So they need to get Aaron Donald in there because I am very excited to see this Rams defense with Suh, Donald, and Brockers applying quick pressure up the middle and then ball hawks like Tlaib and Peters on the outside. I'm very high on this Rams team, Mike.
So interesting thing about the Rams, they have the least cap space in the league right now. They're down under $2 million left. Next year, $58 million in cap space. That puts them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th in the league as far as cap space is concerned. Jets, Bills, Bengals, Colts, Texans, Rams. So the money's there for
Donald. So pay the man.
Next year.
Pay the man.
So I think they're just trying to figure out a way to structure it, and they're probably asking him, can you play on a light deal this year? But we'll give you guarantees that kick in next year, which is possible.
Yeah, and they could give him a signing bonus too, right?
They could keep him where he's at, give him a signing bonus. But, you know, even a signing bonus would have to be, if it's significant, and with him it will be. It will be, let's just say conservatively, $75 million. Like, that's the kind of signing bonus he's going to get. So you prorate that. It was a five-year deal. I mean, you prorate that. That's $15 million bucks. You really have to figure out how you'd be able to do that and afford the rest of the roster when I just said that they'd be underwater by $13 million there. So I think that's the difficulty. I think they want to do it. I think they want to pay him. They're just trying to figure that out. And who knows? Maybe they deal somebody or cut somebody that can save them some money. But let's get to the player props because I think that's kind of a fun thing to do. Well, first, let's do the Rams since we were just talking about them. Okay. Los Angeles Rams, if I could spell, I'd know where L is on this list. So here we go, Los Angeles Rams. It's an expensive over at 9.5, minus 180. The under is great value at plus 150, but I don't know anybody that doesn't think the Rams aren't going to win that division.
So, and there's the point, though. There's the point, Mike. So when you see that over-under, right, everyone's like, oh, the Rams, great. I think the better value, to be honest, is Rams to win the division instead of the over. Okay, I think there's a universe where they could stumble a little bit. One feature, and I've been talking with Scott Engel and Jake Seeley about this, and people usually don't care about looking at the schedule. But, Mike, you got to look at the Rams' schedule. It is brutal, okay? Not only the teams they face, but there's one feature of the schedule that I know even NFL head coaches look for right away, and that is, do they have any three-game road trips? And the Rams are one of only three teams in the NFL, and interestingly enough, we've touched on, I think, the other two already. The Ravens have a three-game road stretch, and the Saints have a three-game road stretch. Theirs is later on in the season, but look at the stretch of the Rams' schedule, Scott. I mean, excuse me, Mike. They have three road games in a row, weeks 5, 6, and 7, and they've got that first place schedule, you know, so they see the Saints, they see the Eagles, they see the Vikings, they have the Chargers and the AFC West they play. I think the Rams have a very tough schedule. I love their team, but I think the better play is Rams to win the division over their season win total, personally.
I kind of like that, but if you are going under 9.5,
I'm not going under, but could they could still win the division at 10-6. They could still win the division at 9-7, I think.
I just think
it's less of a sweat to win the division.
I get that. So I'm looking at some of the other ones. Minus 180 for that over. So that's an expensive one. I'm looking at if there's any bets right now. I'm finding all my lines on mybookie.ag. I'm trying to find if there's any more expensive bets right that like that on the board. The Seahawks under at minus 170 is the closest one I've found so far. And
what'd you say it was minus 170?
Yeah, Seahawks under, and that is 8.
So the Rams are minus 180 to win the division. You know, so it's almost the same as the over-under for the Rams. So I'd rather go that route personally.
Yeah, so according to mybookie.ag, that is the most no, here it is. One more expensive. The Bengals over 6.5 is minus 190. So Vegas.
I see a minus 190 on the Cardinals also. The Cardinals over is minus 190 as well. Heavy juice on that one.
Yeah. So Cardinal, which I like actually, at 5.5. I do like that. Mm-hmm. The Bengals, you're saying you
gotta pay for it
down on the Bengals. I do have to pay for it, but I do like that over. I'm in an over-under competition every year where I'm just picking against some friends. We pick 5 teams.
Okay.
So I tend to look at this stuff and see which bets are heavily weighted because I technically don't have to pay for it in that manner, right? I'm just picking the teams that Vegas really likes to go over. So Cardinals,
right, so if you have the heavy
Bengals,
juice there, it's a
– Rams, yeah. But last year, the two most expensive bets – for over-unders, whereas the Jets under, and they cleared it. They went over. And the Lions under, and the Lions went over as well because they went 9-7. So, and those were very expensive. The Jets, by the end of the preseason, were about a minus 225, 250, which is a really expensive total wager. So, there you go. So before we get to the player props, I got to do a read. DailyRoto.com is putting more than $25,000 on the line for its subscribers this NFL season, entering paid contests on FanDuel and bringing you along for the free roll. Have the chance to win big this year along SportsGrid CEO Jeremy Stein, one of the only men who have won two separate $1 million prizes. Each week, we'll select lucky subscribers to sweat with us and split 50% of the profits. No profits that week? No worries. Your name will get tossed back into the hat the following week. So head to dailyroto.com/sweat and learn how to get in on the action and share and your share of $25,000 in action. That's dailyroto.com/sweat, S-W-E-A-T. So finally, I'll get to the player props because I've teased them for the last half hour or so. NFL regular season player props, and I wanted to start with the guy that played last night, and Michael Crabtree, because we talked a little bit about that. Total touchdowns, 6. It's a pretty big number. Like you see, betting over Michael Crabtree on 6. Right now, the over is minus 130, so Vegas likes that. That's where the negative money is. So Michael Crabtree, you like him?
I like him, but I think 6. Did you say 6 or 6.5?
6.
I think it's a little too rich for my blood. Okay, and here's why. A few reasons. One, we talked about this Baltimore passing offense, despite the fact that they may be trying to, you know, do a little bit more down the field. I think there are more options than you think about with Willie Snead and John Brown. I think John Brown is going to be that kind of touchdown guy. And here's the other thing. Yes, we just said at the top of the show that maybe we were underrating the Ravens, right? There is still, however, a universe, and I say that a lot, Mike, there is a universe. There's a universe where this still does go bad, and you're seeing Lamar Jackson for the last six games. And if that's the case, I think that is a severe kind of, that is a straitjacket to the touchdown potential of a Michael Crabtree, right? And that's what I would be worried about. In the scenario where Lamar Jackson does come in, let's say they're out of contention, you know, in the months of, you know, November and December, this could look a lot different in Baltimore. And because of all of those reasons, I would actually lean under on Crabtree and his touchdowns.
Okay. I probably would too, because seven seems like a bit much. So yeah. I got a fun one here. Former Packer versus current Packer. Jordy Nelson has more receiving yards, or Geronimo Allison has more receiving yards. Heavy, heavy juice on Jordy Nelson. It's minus 200, plus 160 on Geronimo Allison. I think Geronimo Allison is one of the true sleepers left. We talk about every single guy in the entire league heading into Labor Day, but Geronimo Allison might be a real sleeper.
He could be. I also, though, at the same time, Mike, the Packers drafted not one, not two, but three rookie wide receivers. And so I wonder how strong of a hold Allison has on the number three job in Green Bay. Whereas over in Oakland, you know, there's this cloud over Martavis Bryant. I think there's just a more clear path to opportunity in
choice
Oakland.
Of words.
Yeah. Fair enough. Cloud. Fair enough. But what about these? Yeah, I mean, you know, he likes to puff a little bit. But what about those rookie receivers in Green Bay? Might that be a threat to Allison?
Could be. But I'm not betting on the rookies. I'll bet on the guy that's in the system that they decided to keep around. There's been other guys that have come and gone in Green Bay. But he's the complement now to Cobb and Adams. So, yeah, I think Allison, look, you're paying a lot of juice for Jordy Nelson. If I'm making this bet, I bet on Allison because it's a little bit more of an unbet, and I don't have to pay for it.
All right, fair enough. I got one for you tomorrow because I know we don't have a lot of time until Carton and Friends join us here on the Fantasy Sports Network, but I got a player prop tomorrow that I want to bounce off you. I think a lot of people are falling for the name recognition of a certain player that I would want to go
under. I'm going to give you one
real quick. We'll talk about that tomorrow, though. Okay, go ahead.
Last one before we go.
Go ahead.
NFL player to be named NFL regular season MVP. You got to either bet the big three, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Carson Wentz, or the field. And it's even. Minus 120 on both sides.
I take the field, and I have an inkling that if the Seahawks do anything, Danger Russell Wilson will take them there. So I kind of like Russell Wilson.
Yeah. It's a good one. So this is us every day, folks. We'll be on Fantasy Sports Today every morning. You'll hear us again in the afternoons. So thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening. Carton and Friends is next on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Talk to you tomorrow.